so good to see so many who have been able to be out with us this evening. On this night where we come together and we meditate on God's word, we sing songs of praises. And our primary focus here and now is for us to hone our minds not only on the word of God and not only give him the appropriate praise, which he is worthy, but also to give an opportunity for our young ones under the guise of training them, nurturing them, cultivating the gifts that God has given them in a public forum like this. And we appreciate your encouragement in doing so. Tonight, we're going to focus our attention on self-control. Well, can I control the remote control? Let's see who's going to win. All right, there we go. There are a couple of possible definitions that I looked up for our consideration this evening. First is Webster's, very general definition, says restraint exercised over one's own impulses or passions. The next definition comes from Thayer, a Greek Thayer, and it says that the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. The other comment here by McKnight states that where there is virtue subsists, temptation can have little influence. And I think that there's some truism there, that where we allow the Lord to have control, the power of temptation is weakened and subsides. So as we go through several passages this night, let us concentrate on the various aspects and ways in which the scriptures brings forward or brings to the fore how important self-control really is, self-control exercise in the life of Christians. Also, you'll notice that on the slides, like normal, we have a list of passages and songs mixed in between, and open mic as usual for the purpose of us opening up our hearts one to another. You also notice on a few slides what I call provoking thoughts, or ways in which we can meditate or think about the passages that are being read. So they'll appear on the screen just for you to read. The readers are not obligated to read the meditation thoughts, but for our public consumption, just simply to read them and to think about how they apply within our lives. Okay, with that, we'll begin.
Good evening. Second Peter 1:5-7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
Lord, take control. Lord, take control. Lord, take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, faith and soul.
Almighty God, Jehovah, it is with great reverence that we bow before you. As we contemplate your throne, the heavenly hosts surrounding it, and we as feeble human beings coming and joining with the heavenly hosts, we recognize, Father, that we are not worthy in and of ourselves, but we rejoice, we give you glory and honor because of the blood of Christ, that we can come, we can offer songs of praise, we can offer a weekend of songs of praise unto you, and you are so worthy of that. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your everlasting kindness that has no end. Help us to see it. Help us to respond to your love. To respond to it not only towards you, but to respond to your love in showing it to others. Father, sometimes that's hard for us to do. We struggle with it, and yet we pray for greater love. Father, we recognize that in this life there are struggles and trials. Father, I just want to take a moment to bring before you those of our number who are hurting and struggling. I pray that you would be with Charlotte. She's in the hospital right now. Just give her body strength to overcome this virus and that she could be healed and go about smiling towards all of us. Pray that you would be with Joel. Father, be with him. Give him strength. Give his family strength. And may we be his help. May we be the ones that can lift him and everyone in that family up. Father, we continue to ask that you would please be with Richard and help him at this time. Give his body strength. We pray, Father, for a continued prayer for the Petty family and just continue to comfort and guide them. Father, I know there are many others who are struggling in a physical way. And even more importantly, Father, I know that there are probably many who are struggling in a spiritual way. Help us to never minimize that. Help us, Father, that we recognize and that we see our spiritual weaknesses just as we would our physical weaknesses. Not something to necessarily hide or shun, but that we can express to each other, that most importantly we can express to you and ask for comfort, ask for guidance, ask for help. Help us as saints to be those who would be looking to our brothers and sisters who might need encouragement, might just need a shoulder or a pat on the back. Father, we are in awe of the design of your kingdom, the church, and how we can have people this weekend from places all over the country come together. And what an encouragement that is, to know that your kingdom is spreading not just in this country, but the world over. Father, may we be about the kingdom. May we be seeking to be the light in this world, a light for you, a light to show forth our Savior. Father, truly I offer all of these things In our Savior's name, Jesus, amen.
Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you."
First Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only who receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games expires himself in control in all things. They do it and to receive a perishable wreath from the imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I am boxed in such a way as not being there. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified.
Nine oh five. If you have it, let us sing. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you. Number 745. 745. Let us sing.
Yourselves inside of the Lord.
Jesus is the Son of God.
Number 38.
38.
If you listen.
Our God.
Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city.
Manson over the hilltop. I'm satisfied with a heart below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where there's no shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, and
God is the Lord and is one. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. These words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your ball cap. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your mailboxes. I want to commend the young men that are getting up here. I want to encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. I too was on a scale of 1 to 10, a 22 on the scale of nervousness when I was your age. But at camp, we don't just encourage. We ask that the ladies also give courage, the encourage for the young men, mothers and adopted grandmothers. Also encourage these young men. Give them a pat on the back, a tap of courage, if you will. Let them know. Give them a bit of advice. When they get up here, they should not be timid. They are reading from the most mighty words that ever existed. You have to tell them that. When we sing, they need to know who we're singing to. Let them know that. Young men, when you get up here, when you read God's word, you are reading God's word. It's okay. Everybody here wants to hear it. Everybody here wants to sing it. So don't be afraid.
I wanted to offer a prayer. And there's a lot been going on with our families, especially with Richard and also with especially with Ken. And what's that? Yeah, Richard actually got to go home today. So he's at home today, and that's a good thing. And so chemo just kind of knocks you out and does things, and he'll have that the rest of his life, going through leukemia. But he's struggling through it, and he's got Barbara there now to take care of him, so he's got another person pushing him along. So that's a good thing, and all family helping out. But Ken's going to be homebound for a while just to stay away from germs so we don't have this heart rejecting out. But things are look good and positive, and so I just wonder if Ken would – wants to tell everybody he loves everybody, and he's sad he can't be here. He wants to be here so bad, you don't know how bad he wants to be here.
Yeah, we do.
But he's but he's praying. But and also somebody else I think that was mentioned, but keep Susan Sloan in your prayers and give her a call. She's not the person that's going to come and ask for help. You got to go to her and tell her, what can I do at the house, take the boys to school, pick them up, whatever. But she's on the other day, she just, you know, went over to take one of the boys to go somewhere, and she just needs a shoulder sometimes to cry on and have comfort. But keep Susan in your prayer. She's going through a whole lot, taking care of Joel, and Joel's it's been kind of rough for Susan sometimes, listening to Joel. But let's pray for all those people right now, if we will. The Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you bless us with in this life. We thank you, Lord, that the love that we can have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, Lord, we hope that we'd always lean upon each other. And whenever we have a need, don't be afraid to go to a brother or sister in need and help them out. We pray, Lord, you be with Susan Sloan as she cares for Joel and also the boys. Help all of us to be an encouragement to her and call on her and help her out when she has a need and not wait for her to make the phone call. And Lord, we're thankful there's people like Susan, and I know there's others that they're caring for their husbands. They're going through a lot of trials and tribulations and sickness. And we thank you, Lord, and give Susan the Sloan the courage to continue and to be faithful and help her, help Joel out any way he can. Lord, we're thankful that Richard got to go home from the hospital today. We continue to be with him then as he continues to have the chemo for his leukemia, that he can regain his strength and get better and be with Barbara. She cares for him. Also, Lord, pray that you would be with Ken and be with Cindy as she takes care of Ken and is caring for him And Lord, we just, it's hard to put in words about how much we can be so thankful for. We're thankful for all the doctors. And Lord, we grieve also with the loss of the one who gave up their, who lost their life. But we're so thankful, Lord, that they lost their life, and their donation has helped Ken have new life in his life and living as a Christian. And be with Ken and encourage him, although he's not here among us, that we will make the phone calls to him, let him know how much we love him and care about him, and that he'll soon be able to be back here worshiping among us and giving us strength. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that, and it's a wonderful thing that you've put in doctors' hands that care for things and go through these trials and continue to be with him as he recovers and gets better. And Lord, we're just thankful for everybody here at Concord, and we're thankful that we are such a close family, and do we love each other, and we're thankful that we have good, serving, strong elders here that continue to work, and that they've also had the foresight to look to leadership for the future and added new elders so that we can continue the work that goes on our Concord so we can let others come to Christ. Thank you for all you do for us. In Christ's name, amen. Ken loves phone calls. Yeah. Call him.
Call him.
Tell him the number.
Number. 957.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are in the somewhere beyond the blue. The angels back to me from heaven's open door.
And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you.
Genesis 45:1-3. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. This is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence.
Exodus chapter 32, verses 24 through 26. I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off." So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him.
I'd like to see. Oh, be careful.
Genesis 39:6-13. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went to the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside.
Psalm chapter 106:32-33. They also provoked him to wrath at the waters of Meribah, so that it went hard with Moses on their account. Because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels come. From heaven, the door, and
Help, I'm stuck and can't get out. One day, Mr. Evans spoke of being on an elevator in a high building. He said he'd never been particularly comfortable on such elevators. There was something about riding up and down in a little box several hundred feet off the ground that has never sat well with him. He worried that something would go wrong. One day, it did. The car he was riding in got stuck in between floors, way up in the higher floors. He noted that some of the people in the car became frantic. They began to beat on the door, hoping to get someone's attention. Others began to yell in hopes that their voices would get someone on the surrounding floors to come to their aid. But nobody heard their voices or their cries. Then Mr. Evans quietly made his way to the front of the car, opened a little door in the wall, and pulled out a telephone. Immediately, he was connected with someone on the outside. He didn't need to beat on the wall to get their attention. He didn't need to speak loudly in the phone to receive their help. He could have whispered and they would have heard him. Mr. Evans said that in this world, we're gonna get stuck in places we aren't comfortable with. Some people begin to beat against the walls, others cry out in dismay. But the person who trusts in the power of confident prayer knows there's someone on the other end who hears their call and comes to their aid. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 tells us that we now can have boldness to enter into the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. We can think this way only because Jesus has opened the way for us to approach God's throne and earnestly ask whatever we desire according to his will. So don't lose control. God is still on the throne.
Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity.
A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression.
Just kidding. No. Evening. No, I'm just kidding. Last month, Tommy came up to me and was like, Lee, you got the invitation next month? I said, sure. What's the topic? And he said, it's self-control. We're doing the fruit of spirit. I was like, okay. So I was like, this month I've been thinking about it. And then I was getting my lesson together. I was thinking, okay, what is self-control? And I was like, well, how can you define self-control without saying control of self or using the word? So I started thinking of an example of how I could relate it so I could get a grasp of what it means and what it looks like. And I automatically went to running. I used to run a lot, and I still need to. In fact, I need to start running again because Micah can run miles around me, and I can't be having that now. So I started thinking about running and how running is everything from the training to the actual race is all self-control. We read the verse earlier talking about how this life is a race. And everything, when you're training, you have to have the right kind of training. You have to have the self-control to do the right training. Then when you're doing the race, you have to have the self-control to pace yourself, and then have the self-control of your mind to be able to overcome when your legs are hurting and your mouth's drying out and you can't breathe right. And you have the self-control of your mind to focus on what the end result is and what you're working to. Everything about it is self-control of your mind and body, and that's what self-control is. And so whenever I was thinking, okay, now I need to kind of think about how can I put this talk together. And I was thinking back to school, and you always go to the person who's a leader study in that field, and I was thinking, James. James pretty much is the PhD student in self-control. So I'm going to start off by James chapter 3. I'm going to start off with verses 1 through 4, kind of showing how self-control, what we need to focus on is our self-control of our mind and our body. And that how running the race and having self-control of our body in that race is the same way as having self-control of our mind and body and running the race of our life in a spiritual sense. Because if you really think about it, every sin is a result of a lack of self-control in some way. So it's impeccable that we understand kind of what God says about it. So in chapter 3, verse 4, chapter 3, starting verse 1, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." And then here we go. "If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also the ships. Although they are so large and all driven by fierce winds, they are turned by the very small rudder whenever the pilot desires." Then also over in, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify the God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our body is not ours. Ultimately, it is God's. It's his temple for his spirit that lives in us. So we need to have control of our body because that's God's temple. It's not ours to do whatever we want with. So we have to control our bodies. A specific body part would be the tongue. James talks about bridling the tongue. Just that one piece of your body, so small, yet it is able to do great things. With the words of God, he was able to bring in creation, but with the words of the devil, he was able to bring in sin and death into this world. So just the words that we speak are something that we have to have control over just because of the power they have. If you also go back in James, just kind of an idea of what can happen whenever you don't control when you don't have control. It talks about, like the tongue, for instance, it can set on a flame. It can turn a forest into a forest fire. So we have to be able to control our bodies and our minds. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus raises the bar on our being able to control our minds. This was I talked about in the class this morning a little bit. But starting in verse 27, "You have heard that it is said of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman in lust for her has already committed sin." So no longer is it just what our body does that we have to keep in control of. It's what we do with our minds that are also we're held accountable for. So we have to have that control of mind and body combined to be able to have the right kind of life to be able to go to heaven one day. Just kind of wrap up, the last example I want to think about is the ultimate example of self-control was the last bit of Jesus' life. Think about it. He was sitting around. He knew who was going to betray him. He even said it. "The one who's betraying me is sitting with me now." And he didn't get all up in his face. He didn't, throw him out of the room. He kept calm. He did the Lord's Supper with him. He even ate with him. And then think about that night after he was arrested. He was beaten. He was accused, falsely accused. He was nailed to a cross. He was laid up with thieves. And yet he kept his cool. He was in complete control of what was going on. He didn't lose himself at all. Just a few words he spoke in that whole time. The ones that kind of stick out to me are, "Forgive them they not know what they do." If all this had happened to me, I wouldn't be thinking that at all. But Jesus had that control. He had his training. He had his focus, his self-control on the end result. He knew his purpose, and his control was focused on reaching that end result of saving all of mankind. And that with his self-control, we were all saved. And part of his training is God's word. Earlier, it was talking about the bridle being in a horse. it's very simple how it works. A horse has nerves in the corner of his mouth, and that bridle, just a little tug, will help it turn whichever it wants to. And just like that bridle, God's word is our bridle. And, you know, with a horse, if it starts, as long as the horse works with whoever's riding, the bridle doesn't hurt him. Just the way God's word is, if we do what God wants, it doesn't hurt. It's whenever you start tugging the other way is when it starts to hurt you. And it needs to, and it's trained you to go the way that God's steering you. So, how is your self-control is what I want to know. Have you lost self-control? Have you been baptized, but you lost self-control? You've done what you want to. You are no longer in control of yourself, even though you might think you are. Or would you like God to take control of you? That is the best way to have self-control, is let God take control of you, and then you don't have to worry about it. But whatever we can do, if you need the prayers of the congregation or if you would like to be baptized, please come now as we stand and sing.
Deeper than the oceans and wider than the sea, deeper than the Savior, a sinner like me, sent from the Father, and if
not had the opportunity. The Lord's Supper is prepared in the room off to the the classroom wing. I'd like to thank you all for being here tonight, and most of all, thank these young men. I really appreciate Micah's encouragement and encourage us all to encourage them as they continue to train and develop the skills that God has so richly given them. We'll be led in prayer.
Bow with me, please. Our most merciful Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you now at the close of our service, having sung songs, edified our faith, and offered our songs in worship and praise to you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for these times that we have the opportunity to come to you in this manner. It's good for us. We're thankful, Father, for all the things that you do for us, and especially through your Son, that we have a relationship with you as your children. We're thankful for the church that's here in this location. Father, continue to bless us, strengthen us, and help us, Father, to be a light in the community. Help us to look for opportunities, seize opportunities, make opportunities with the people that we are in contact with throughout our daily lives. Help us, Father, to encourage them and teach them to learn about you, to learn about your Son, and to learn about the grace that you have extended to all of us. We're so thankful, Father, for the efforts and all that goes on here, the teaching and the preaching. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless us. And we pray that we'll use these blessings in service to you. We pray your care and blessings upon those that are leaving, traveling home. Pray that you'll keep them safe. Continue our prayers on behalf of our sick, especially Joel and Ken, Richard, and others. Father, we pray your blessings be upon them. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.